Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. I'm able to broadcast live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. And as I always do, because I'm talking to you, I consider it a privilege, I consider it a pleasure, I consider it a joy to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call, as revolutionaries and black nationalists and revolutionary Pan-Africanists, Black Power Radio. Hell, you know, I got to, of course, start this show off right. I have to start this show off right, giving thanks to our ancestors. Well, first in that line of divine, the almighty, wise, true, and living God. By whatever name that you use, we have to give thanks to that all-wise, true, and living, and merciful creator who has allowed us all to come into being and to exist. And in that line of divine, we thank those representatives of ourselves, our ancestors, who had established great kingdoms and great mentalities and greatness throughout the earth in terms of civilization, and ultimately being deceived by even members of our own nation at a certain point in our history, and then being brutalized and maimed and murdered at the hands of the colonial white man and drug across the Atlantic Ocean 9,000 miles into the Caribbean, to be broke down from name, language, culture, religion, folkways, foreways, norms, and robbed of the very power of our own being, and then being brought here to the shores, the hells and smells of North America, and to be put into chattel slavery, and to be Jim Crowed and black coded, and through all of that, still able to maintain dignity and to survive, and then raising up in the spirit of so many warriors, from Nat Turner to Denmark Vesey to Toussaint Louverture to so many who rose up, from Harriet Tubman to Queen Nzinga and so many others that fought and gave us an example of how to rule and how to be strong even in the face of oppression. We thank them. Too many of our family to name, but we thank them for helping us to be where we are today, and that we are able to give them honor and praise for their efforts. And we have to give thanks to the Deacons for Defense. I'm talking about Robert F. Williams and those that were with him. We give thanks for the Deacons for defense, for standing up when they stood up and were thankful to all of those. I'm not going to go through all of it. It's just too much, but you know what I'm saying. All of our people who have stood up at whatever time they have come, we're thankful for them, and we give thanks for the Black Panther Party from Lowndes County, Alabama. We give thanks for the Black Panther Battalion. We give thanks for the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. We give thanks. We're just thankful today. We got to give thanks. Got to be grateful. And, of course, we are thankful for the formation of the new Black Panther Party that began in 1989 out in Dallas, Texas. And ultimately, we are appreciative for a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who was an all-star football player and happened to catch the ball of New Black Panther Party and carried that ball of New Black Panther Party on down into the end zone. I'm talking about that great chairman and that beautiful warrior who stood and said that his purpose on this earth and his purpose on this planet was to give the enemy hell from the cradle to the grave. And from the moment that he did that, he stood his ground and held his ground. And from the moment that he was birthed into this earth, should I say, from his mother's womb, he stood his ground and held his ground. And we bear witness all across the black nation and indigenous nations that black man held his ground and gave our enemies hell in the fashion that it was given to us. And we're thankful for a champion and representative in our midst today who has carried the work under much turmoil and under much tension and under much strain and under much headache, but also with much love and much joy and much concern and much thankfulness to our black God. We are thankful for his number one student and helper, and a man who has been beat and molded and shaped to carry on the torch and carry on the mission and to push forward in this hour. I'm talking about our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who we will hear from today. This is definitely Black Power Radio. And if you are listening right now, then you know why at the beginning of this broadcast I said to you that we are happy, because now it is April the 25th, and if you have been keeping up with this radio show, then you know for at least the past 2 months we have been talking to you about a maneuver, a international maneuver that goes beyond borders and that goes beyond ideologies and goes beyond political persuasion and affiliation. We have been talking to you, my brothers and my sisters, about this national and international day of action. And some of you may say, well, how did it go? I didn't see it run across CNN. I didn't see it run across MSNBC. I didn't see it run across Fox News or any of them. Well, hell no, of course you didn't, because it's not something that they can sensationalize. They can't take a sound bite from the unity of black people and flash that across the 5 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock program or what have you, and make mischief with that. And so what our enemies and the detractors of our movement decided to do was to try to give it no coverage at all. And in fact, we didn't even push for the coverage. In fact, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the organizers that worked, you across the country who worked for the National Day of Action, hey, you didn't see us really pushing and going on too much radio and TV. We were working on the ground, and we were concerned about the conditions of our people on the ground. We didn't care nothing about no MSNBC or Fox News. It wasn't about that. And in the last few days, right up about, I'm going to say right about the 22nd, April the 22nd, you had the Anti-Defamation League, which I call them the Pro-Defamation League, but you had the ADL try in haste to slander the movement and get it released to the press that this was supposed to be some kind of hate movement, some kind of hatred against the so-called Jewish community and this, that, and the other. And all of this was coming out. And so what this did was this caused the reactionary state, the reactionary local governments to get up in a frenzy, and their hopes was that they would scare you away from that which is good for us and good for our people, which is the unity of ourselves and us coming together as one. They was hoping that you would be scared to death. They was hoping that you would not show up in your cities. They were hoping that you would stop organizing, that you would no longer want to push forward to fight for our future and to fight for our destiny and to fight for us in general. They were hoping that you would back down and punk out and tuck your tail and run like a little sissy. But I'm happy to report, that's right, for the ADL that's listening, I'm happy to report, and we thank the God of our forefathers and foremothers for this strength, that the organizers of the National and International Day of Action, we didn't run and tuck our tails. We didn't go anywhere. We stood our ground in the cities. In over 60 cities in America, we stood our ground. And in many cases, when our brothers and our sisters got to their events and got to their venues, many of our brothers and our sisters and the organizers who were working for the good of the community, they were met by local police authorities. And it was local police authorities in some cities, I bear witness, that the police were trailing the organizers and trying to intimidate the organizers and trying to punk the organizers and trying to make the people believe that it was unlawful to assemble and that you couldn't come together even in your own communities to stop the violence and to stop the racism and to stop the apathy and to stop black-on-black violence and biological and chemical warfare and to stop the disrespect of our elders and to stop the inadequate health care and that which we face. They wanted you to believe that was illegal, and they tried in many cities to use intimidation tactics. We're going to talk about it. The organizers are going to call in and tell you about it. They tried to use intimidation tactics. They tried in some cities to use paperwork and trip you up with the paperwork. They tried in some cities to say it was all good, go ahead and use the property at the last minute. They try to take it away from the people. But I'm happy to say on this April the 25th that the will of the people, the will of the people prevailed over all the obstacles, over all the man-made machinery, over everything that they threw in our path. The will of the people prevailed over everything that stood in the way of our progress. And so this is why on today that we are happy, and we told you beforehand, before this even took place, that this wasn't going to be an easy ride, that this wasn't just going to be a smooth sailing, that this wasn't just going to be something where you can just come to an event and feel good and then go home. We told you that this was going to be a struggle, and that if you were going to get free, and if I was going to get free, that we would have to tangle with some people, and that we would have to confront some establishment, and that we would have to be pulled from the sidelines and forced to get into this battle and to get into this fight and to get into this mold and to get off our behinds and do something for ourselves. That's right. And that's what happened. And so now we battle tested. And April 23rd is a smash success. Regardless to whether the white man's media talks about it or not, April the 23rd is a smash success. And so we're asking you, family, to write your own stories. You better not allow somebody else to tell your story and talk about what you've done. You know, the white man ain't never told your story the way you can tell your story. You let them tell it, everything that you do is going to be whitewashed. It's going to be pale-faced, blue-eyed, or brown-eyed, and something that reflects them. We got to tell our own story. Those of you that can write, and those of you that have talent with the pen and the typewriter, you need to be blogging right now. You need to be on them blog sites. You need to be on your Facebooks. You need to be uploading your videos. You need to be uploading your camera phone vids. You need to be calling in the radio shows and telling them broadcasters what you did on April 23rd. Because if you leave it to them, they're never going to tell your story. They're not going to tell our story, and they're not going to tell anything else in the future. Let me say that right now. If you're waiting for some kind of photo op, see, some people wouldn't get involved because there was no photo op with this. There was no photo opportunity with this. You couldn't smile and cheese and shake hands and then go on home and chill. This wasn't about a photo opportunity. So upload your videos. Matter of fact, send them to NationalDayOfAction@Yahoo.com. And that's still in use. NationalDayOfAction@Yahoo.com. Send your videos. Send your stories. We're going to compile it all together. We want to put it up on the website, DayOfActionMovement.org. Got to tell you all that the Day of Action Movement only began on April 23rd. I've been telling you all for months and months and months. I've been telling you that April 23rd was just us drawing our line in the sand. It didn't have nothing to do with being done on April 23rd. Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, he ain't stopped working. Your brother Sean Kwali, I haven't stopped working. Sister Miller Sankofa, we ain't stopped working. The entire new Black Panther Party has not stopped working. Those that organized the National and International Day of Action, we have not stopped working. How can we stop working and there's still work to do? I cannot let you get comfortable. Like we really have done something so super tremendous that ain't nothing left to be done. That's not a knock against you. We have done something that's great. Believe me, this will have far-reaching effects. April 23rd will have effects so far down the road that we may have transcended on or gone to the realm of the ancestors. That's how far down it may go. But even in between that, see, now we got to deal with today, the 25th. We got to deal with the 26th. We got to deal with the 27th. We got to deal with next month and the month after that. See, this thing is about revolution. Revolution, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad taught us. And Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is teaching right now. That revolution is complete constructive change. I want y'all to hear that again. Complete constructive change. Minister Malcolm X, Brother Omar Wiley told you that revolution knows no compromise. So until the issues that we put forth as a black nation, because remember now, as we prepare to bring our cities on, remember now that the black nation was cold. It was not just some idea that I had or a couple of people had. The black nation took a poll. And that based upon your answers and based upon us being on the ground and talking to the people, we put a mission statement out there before the world that told you what we was about and what we were going to attack and what we were going to stand for and what we wasn't going to stand for. And so until those issues that are answered on our mission statement, We're not going to sit back and kick back and lie around and eat Captain Crunch. Not going to sit back and watch as the world turns, the days of our lives or whatever's being watched. We ain't doing none of that. Until those issues that are on that mission statement are answered, the black nation will kick up dust. I'm going to say that again. Until those issues are answered, the black nation will kick up dust. I hear many of you all say it, no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. But it's real right now. And let's not forget, those of you all who were being harassed by agencies, police departments, and white supremacists and all that, you got to talk about that too. See, this was an unprecedented move. Well, we stood up against our enemies, and it was known. We didn't do this in some roundabout way. We wasn't hiding behind no damn computer screen. We was nose to nose and voice to voice with these crackers, with these hillbillies. That's right. We was nose to nose with them in the spirit of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad on the ground. So you got to talk about that, too, being harassed by the oppressor. Being harassed by the police department, being harassed by bootlicking, buck dancing Negroes. All that we got to talk about tonight. We got a couple hours to do it. Feeling good. Got to definitely send a thanks to the entire new Black Panther Party who helped in the effort and who sacrificed much. I got to say that on our behalf, those of us who have given up much and sacrificed much sleep and sacrificed many dollars and sacrificed what we have of our person to see the complete constructive change of black people, we give you a strong and give us a strong black hand and black salute. Yeah, I had to tell a reporter this morning, I had to tell her that you all have mischaracterized the new Black Panther Party. You have gotten so consistent on this propaganda that you put out against us, you're starting to believe the hype. Some of you, even in our own, start to believe that all the new Black Panther Party is about is, you know what I mean, wearing black berets and black uniforms, and that's all we get comfortable doing. Hell no, brother and sister. The new Black Panther Party is here to be the revolutionary vanguard of our people. And so that means we got to go in first, Panthers. That means we're going in first. And so, yes, along with the black nation, the revolutionary vanguard of the new Black Panther Party will be kicking up dust. That's right. It don't stop. The new Black Panther Party is going to kick up much dust here in the next few months. So definitely be on the lookout for much from us, and definitely be on the lookout for our newspaper is coming back stronger than ever. And you know we're going to talk about some National Day of Action. Some National Day of Action for all of you who can write. You're welcome to write in the Panther paper. We got to do this on a much bigger, much larger, much grander scale. We got to get this thing over. And this administration right now has waged war on the righteous and waged war on Africa. And an attack on Africa is an attack on you and me in the hills of North America. Any of the cities that's online, press number one. I'm going to bring you straight on. An attack on Africa is an attack on all of us. How can you let your mama be attacked? Africa's our mama. How can you let your mama be attacked? And you don't say nothing, you don't do nothing, and you don't stand for nothing. Let me go right to it. 678-357, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Tell us about your National Day of Action experience, Black Power.
Black Power, this is Brother Lenny from Atlanta.
Brother Lenny, what's going on, Black man?
Brother, the day of action in Atlanta. Set Atlanta on fire. Talking about Africa, we had Friends of the Congo here with us. And
what?
They talked about how America is sponsoring Rwanda and Uganda to come and train the rebels here in North Carolina and send them back to keep the fight going on within their country. We're talking about how broke we are here in America. How can you spend thousands for another country's army? How can you train them to go and steal kidnapped kids out of the Congo and bring them and raise them up and then bring them to America to train them to oppress the people more than what they already are? I am a strong believer, like Makassar Rich say, America never be free until Africa is free.
Exactly. 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 So tell us some of the sights and sounds of what you saw in Atlanta. I saw some of y'all's pictures, but you tell the people what you all saw, some of the sights and sounds.
Brother, we had, first of all, when I looked into the audience, you know how America talk about the rainbow after rain, the red,
right,
green, yellow?
Right.
Well, brother, when I looked into the audience and I seen the different colors and shades that we come in, there wasn't a rainbow more beautiful than that one.
Right. Right. What was the topic of that day?
What he talked about, we touched every subject that could be touched. We talked about, we had people there from the sovereign community of Haiti who talk about the programs and how they're trying to get people to help go back and to help rebuild Haiti. We had people from, we had Ross Marvin, the president of the UNIA here. We had a renowned worldwide doctor, Dr. James Hall, who was when Reagan sent physicians over to Africa to work on the AIDS project, he was one of those physicians. And becoming one of those physicians, he became Nelson Mandela's personal physician. Not only that, he is Minister Farrakhan's personal physician.
Wow.
These are some of the people that we had in Atlanta. That's just a few. We had people from in COBRA, which stands for reparation. We had them here. We had Kalonji from FTP here. Brother, we had so many people, and they talked about so many different things. But the height of the whole program was when our national chief of staff, Hashim and Zynga, stepped to the podium. Now, that was a sight to see there.
What the black man talk about? We're trying to get the details, Brother Lenny, because, you know, we wasn't in Atlanta.
But, you know, there's so much, I don't have enough time.
you try to take it all in, right?
I'll take up the whole show.
Well, you got about 10 minutes.
But brother, I mean, he talked about when the civil rights movement started back in 1955. And he came up to the present day. He talked about the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. He talked about our present leader, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and talking about how those two brilliant men are, and how brilliant it was for attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz to put this day of action together, not just here in America, but throughout the world. I don't know if they heard me. Not just in America.
Right.
But throughout the world. We have
think about that
done here nationally. But how many times has a black man done something globally?
Exactly.
Exactly, because it's always local. It's always something, you know, that's a localized event. Everybody goes to that one event, but we're talking national and international, right?
Yes, sir. Globally.
Let me ask you this, Brother Lenny. Did you all get any kind of opposition on that day?
No, sir, we did not. We didn't get no opposition. No opposition at all. The only opposition we ran across is when we were trying to get the city parks and the Capitol buildings. We didn't have the correct information. We moved a little bit too late. But the next time we have this program, we know what to do in the banks.
Exactly.
So we ain't going to have no more problems.
Exactly. So for the people of Atlanta and surrounding areas, I know Augusta was in there too, and some other Georgia came up. What can the people of Atlanta and the state of Georgia do now, past the 23rd, to keep that movement growing and going?
Now everybody just have to keep the alliance that we built, keep it strong, and keep working, because here in Atlanta, we're making history. We are bringing not just some of the black organizations together. We're bringing them all together. We are bringing some of the politicians in, not just to sit around and see us, but they're coming and speaking with us.
Right.
They're telling us also about some of the laws that we need to fight against. Yes, sir.
Man.
They're helping us. They're giving us the information to pass out amongst the people and telling them how we need to fight against these programs and the law they're trying to do. There's one that they're trying to pass. I forgot what the bill number is, where they're trying to take the prisoners of Atlanta and use them for guinea pigs for 6 months of their incarceration. 6 months of their incarceration, they're going to be used for medical guinea pigs.
And they already, they do that already, but they're trying to make it legal now.
They're trying to make it legal. Man. So this is one of the things we need to get together and go down to the legislative building when they try to do it and fight against it strongly.
Exactly. Quit experimenting on the prisoners, on our black prisoners and prisoners. Quit experimenting on them. That's crazy as hell. Wow.
We also found out that AIDS just didn't come about in the 60s. AIDS was around in the 30s when they did the experiment on syphilis back in Tuskegee. AIDS been around that long. And Dr.
So what
Robert
happened?
Gallo,
why did it become this big pandemic, in your opinion?
Because just recently, Dr. Robert Gallo was the one who got the patent. How did he get a patent on such a disease back in the 60s? He got the patent. So they give him the credit for being the inventor of the AIDS virus.
Wow. So because Robert Gallo got the patent on, wait a minute, hold on, Brother Liddy, because I got to let that one sink in for the audience. You said because Robert Gallo got the patent on the AIDS, I got to say disease, it's a disease, on the AIDS disease, that he got the credit for being the inventor?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. He got the patent. How do you get a patent on such a monster?
Wow.
And he also knew what to do for the CDC asked him how to check the blood after transfusions to make sure it's not tainted. And he would not tell them for years. That's why it's so popular here in America, because of him. Now we're talking about a devil.
A devil. Man. Yeah, straight up devil, Black man. That's why we tune in to Black Power Radio, to get it here first. And what's the doctor's name you said that revealed that information to you?
Dr. James Hall.
James Hall. We're going to get that brother
on. Who graduated from the Pasteurial Institute of Medicine. So we're not talking about no lightweight. We're talking about a heavyweight here.
Wow. So what's coming up in Atlanta? Now after the 23rd is over, what's coming up now?
We're planning a few other events and the tour. I got everything actually figured out. I'm not going to say anything as of yet because I want to make sure when I do say it, I have it correct and right. But the worst thing to do is to get wrong information.
Got you. But Brother Lenny, listen, we're going to be staying tuned. We're going to stay tuned to some Atlanta GA because we interested. Everybody, I've been getting all kind of calls from Jordan, emails. People in Georgia are ready to stand up for real. So we're going to stay tuned and see what we can do to help the movement, black man.
Brother, we need all the help we can here, not just here in Atlanta. We need all the help we can get across the world. Because everybody is ready now. See, it's not because the Black Power, I mean the Black Panther, new Black Panther Party is that strong. It's because Allah is guiding everyone to us. That's why
that.
Allah, God, he's guiding the people to us because they're ready for something to be happening. And we're the ones
that's
bringing it to them. And we bring
I'm
it
with
to
that.
Them.
I'm
and
with
that's
that.
Why
I'm
they're
with
that. Us.
We got to bring it to them now. We got to bring it to them. If the mountain won't come to you, you go to the mountain. Brother Lenny, we got to get these other cities in here, black man. But we appreciate you. Hang on the line because, you know, our national champion's coming on in a few moments.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Black power.
Black power to all of Atlanta. Black power. And a special shout-out to our national chief of staff, Brother Hashim and Zingle, who Brother Lenny just said, rock the house. Shouts out to you and all the organizers in Atlanta, GA. Take another one, 904-405. You're on the air. We're talking about rain, police, and hair. We prevail. Talk to us, Black Power.
Assalamu alaikum and Black Power to all my Afro-descended brothers and sisters.
Assalam, Black Power. Who we talking to?
This is Amjad Naeem Talibin of Jacksonville, the Lost Foundation of Islam.
Hey, what's going on, my brother?
Nothing too much, my brother. I was in attendance of the Jacksonville Day of Action, and we had a nice turnout. We didn't have any real difficulties. The brother Malik Zulu Shabazz got up there and represented, you know, trying to wake the dead, and. We were there in support of the Nation of Islam, the Lost Foundation of Islam, the Moore Science Temple, a couple of church organizations, and we were there, and we were ready for whatever. And
run that list down again. You say the Nation of Islam, the Lost Foundation of Islam, the church. Who else?
The Moore Science Temple. It was a. Prince Jamal Malik El Osiris, the Grand Sheikh of the New Moors International Group of Science and Development.
Man, so when have you ever seen, in recent memory, that many people, that many organizations coming together for a National Day of Action, any kind of action together like that?
Brother, it was the first time in my life. I'm 31 years old at this day and time, and honestly, that was one of the most prolific signs of unity, for all of those factions, of black leaders to be there at one point in time. It was it struck my heart. It struck my heart, but honestly, and I wish that more of my brothers and sisters that I invited out to the event would have came out, so that it could have been even more powerful. Even though just the whole essence of those people being there was powerful, brother.
Well, don't fret. We're gonna stay at it. We're gonna stay at it. Those who missed it the last time, who missed it on the 23rd, is coming black at you. It's coming black at you, my brother. Talk to us about the sights and the sounds. What did you see that day? What was the message that day? Fill us in.
Yes, sir. The message of the day was freedom or else. From my understanding, that was the brother Shabazz's the title of the mission statement that day. It was freedom or else. And basically, he went down on a lot of the subject titles that were on the flyer for the International Day of Action and Unity. And I would say the scene we were in Hemming Plaza, which is in downtown Jacksonville, across the street from I think City Hall, and we had a section, and all of us, you know, all of us were gathered, and but we were here, and then we had. You know, we had a lot of people that could have joined the function, but they decided not to join the function. But, you know, we don't, you know, I would say that, you know, they wasn't embracing what we were trying to do, but we were doing what we were going to do anyway.
Right. What would you come up with any kind of opposition? Is there any kind of opposition on that day?
We did have some of the brothers were telling me that one of the had a tea party guy that was taking pictures from his car. It was a brother. It was one of them Tom brothers. You know, he was taking pictures from his car. They say that he was from one of the other functions that they seen him at another function that they had, and he was taking pictures also. I do have the police. I think the police stepped to, I guess, to see if we basically had a permit for the event. And the brothers handled themselves accordingly. They, you know, they stood off with them and let them know that, you know, what was what, and that we had our rights to be there, you know. And the event went on. Other than that, we had no other static at all.
What was the situation with the mayor? I heard some rumors and read some things about the mayor of Jacksonville. What was that about?
The mayor basically said that that Brother Shabazz wasn't welcome in Jacksonville. But as everyone would see, if you can also go on Ustream to check out the actual taping of the Day of Action in Jacksonville, as we put it, the brother was well welcome in Jacksonville, Florida. So there was nothing that he could actually do about that, because, you know, it was nothing that he could really do. You know, he can tell the brother that he wasn't welcome, but he couldn't do nothing physically or take any action to make sure that the brother couldn't come and spread this truth to the people.
What's the mayor of Jacksonville's name?
Mayor, is it Mayor Payton? I think it's Mayor Payton, but I just want
that name out there for the listening audience who don't know. To the mayor of Jacksonville, you were no good bastard. Let me let that ring out. You were no good bastard. Doc Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz has been coming to Jacksonville for years, and if he's willing to work to clean up the streets of Jacksonville, stay the hell out of his way.
That's right, bro.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I also, yes, sir, and he did exactly that, brother. Basically the program went on, and the different leaders got up and they spoke, and all of the words were very inspiring, and you know, and touched into my heart, you know, and I know, and every other brother that was there for the Day of Action, you know, I actually had been preparing ever since I got the first word of it. And
right,
you know, I got up on the 23rd, and you know, prepared myself, and you know, got
yes,
my
sir.
Ride there. You know, we
Go ahead.
Yeah, we did our boycott thing, and you know, we didn't buy nothing but black. Me myself, I actually got a ride there. I ate breakfast at home, got a ride there.
Yes,
one of the Muslim brothers gave me a ride home, and then when I came
Beautiful.
Home, I ate at home. So I was successful in my day of boycotting nothing but black business. So.
Brother, congratulations, and I have to put some weight on that point. Congratulations to all of the organizers and brothers and sisters across the black nation who successfully on that day bought black, ate black, lived black. Trust me, I've been reading the reports. The white man, the white establishment, the white power structure is upset and up in arms that you had the gall to say you were going to only support yourself. Read about it. Google it. They were heated about the Black campaign. Congratulations to you all, brother.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I would also like to give a shout out to the North American Reparation Task Force. You can get if people want information on the task force. We're at www.nareparationstaskforce.org. And this is an extension of the Lost Foundation of Islam, and we're working for the human rights of all our brothers and sisters throughout the slave diaspora, meaning worldwide. And I would also like to give the national identity that we have been given within the United Nations, which is Afro descendant.
All right.
Okay. For the record, Afro descendants are people whom, number one, were forcibly disposed from their homeland, which being us, Africa. Number two, were transported to America, the Americas, for the slave diaspora and for the purpose of enslavement. Number three, we were subject to slavery. Number four, we were subject to be forcibly mixed, bred, and raped. Number five, we have experienced through force the loss of mother tongue, culture, and religion. Number six, have experienced racial discrimination due to the loss of ties and particularly lost ties of their original identity. And number seven, are going through the rebirth process of ethnogenesis. So in the United Nations, we are classified as Afro descendants. So all my brothers and sisters who spit the African American, that you can scratch that out. We are the Afro descendants.
But now Afro descendants, my dear brother, I gotta get these other cities in here. But I appreciate your spirit. State your name one more time for the audience and tell them how they can contact you on email.
Yes, sir. I'm Jad Naeem Talibdin. Jacksonville, Florida, originally of Chicago, and I am with the North American Reparation Task Force. You can reach us at www.nareparationstaskforce.org, and I'm also a member of the Lost Foundation of Islam.
All right,
I thank you very much, brother. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Walaikum salam, Black Power. We thank you, family. And again, I got to echo that for all of you all, and myself included. I'm not talking like I didn't do it. I was there doing it with you. For all of us who bought black on that day, you got to pat yourself on the back and give yourself a black hand and put your black fist in the air. It was stronger than what you know. Let me keep this moving. 347-548, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. In the rain, hail, and the police, we prevail. Black Power.
Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Black Power. This is Janet Chavis. I'm calling from New York City, New York.
Black Power, what's going on, Queen?
We had a good time. I must admit, I did arrive there late, but when I got there, it was all right. It was all good. Brother Zaid Mohammed was speaking to the people, you know, coming with the fire, stirring everybody up. You know, it rained a little bit, but everything was set up nice. You know, everybody said what they had to say. And I spoke, reached out to the people, and we got a lot of positive feedback in the end. A lot of people said that they wish that they had known about it, and we let them know that it's not the end, it's only the beginning, and informed the people that in June there will be another one. But it was very good. The vibes, I love the vibes. I felt like everybody left from there open, ready for the next one. And I'm not a Panther. I'm a Panther affiliate. I've known them for years, and I support. And I just want to commend them because they did a good job. You know, brothers was out there the week prior in the rain, giving out flyers, you know, letting people know, you know, set up everything nice. You know, a lot of us were on Facebook, you know, and the notices was up daily, imploring the people to come out and support. I'm upset because black media here in New York City did not support or put this on the airwaves. We have a radio station, 98.7 KISS, you know, which regularly on Sundays advertises for community events. And not once did I hear them notify the people of this here event. You know, better promotion and advertisement would have filled the state office buildings where we were. And all those businesses and media that purport to be about black people and promote black issues, they need to put this on the radar and let people know what's going on.
Exactly. Give us some of the sights and sounds. What was the topic like? What was the attitude of the people like? What happened?
The people were interested and wanted to hear, you know, what everybody had to say. You know, originally I was scheduled to speak about police brutality because I currently have a lawsuit against NYPD for the lawful death of my son. But there was an individual, Pastor Omar Wilkes, who also has taken up the cause of police brutality, and I know that he was going to speak on the issue. So in my mind, there's no sense of us talking about the same thing, so I deferred to him to let him address it. And I spoke about the prison system. I spoke about how we're being put out of our houses, put out of our homes, our schools are being shut down, and we're sitting up waiting for Obama to come to our rescue. And that's not happening. You know, and just spoke to the people and let them know that we have to recognize and realize who the enemy is. We have to come together on this thing. Because in every day is in an area concerning Black America where we have not been affected. Everything that they could possibly take from us is being taken. You know, and I heard somebody earlier speak about the prisons. You know, there are now more Black men in prison than there was during the entire time of slavery. Okay,
right.
That should send a notice as to what time that we're living in right now. You know, and also there those that are incarcerated in private prisons are allowed to be used for free labor, for private business, for a profit. And they are now working on the Black female. We had individuals there who came with their flyer that was saying how their children were being taken from them by ATF. If you have a child and your child gets injured and you take the child to the hospital, social service will come down and start scrutinizing you as maybe you did it to your child. So these children have been taken away from their parents, placed in ATF, used also as guinea pigs for experiments. You understand? So when you look at the scope of things and what's being done to us as a people, we in a state of emergency. You know, and all those who claim to be for Black people, Black media, Black business and that, it's put up for shut up time. Okay, you got to come out in support of this. Okay, because when you look around, who is out there that's contending for Black people? Nobody. All those so-called civil service, public leaders, where you at? I can't hear you. If you out there, I can't hear you. If you out there, I don't see you. Okay, we being slammed. We being slaughtered nonstop every day right in front of our face. And who's talking about it? Ain't nobody talking about it. Nobody. So I'm 100%. I'm for what y'all doing. I support what y'all doing. I encourage everybody, especially people that support to be about the people. You need to be out here. You know, every time that we out there, you need to be out there. It's show and prove time. It's no more laying in the cut, waiting for somebody else to come see about you. You come see about you. Black power.
That's what I'm talking about. Sizzlin. Last point. You still with me?
Yes.
I just want to ask you, how did the police treat you all on that day?
Well, you know, when a matter of fact, about 3:15, they had came and they were speaking, you know, conferring with Sister Khadijah. They were trying to say that we were supposed to be out of there at 3 o'clock. Okay, our information is that we were permitted from 12 to 4. But they said their understanding was 3 o'clock. And they were saying that the last person that spoke was supposed to be the last spokesperson that, you know, to speak. So while they over there conferring, Brother Hannibal is steady like, next speaker. You know, they still moving forward. We gonna do what we came to do. That's how it works.
Right.
So basically everybody, you know, said what they had to say, they came there and needed to speak and did it. You know, other than that, there was no issue.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think sometimes
we thank you so much, and we look forward to doing much more with you in the future. Keep us updated. We're gonna increase these shows of Black Power Radio. Please keep us updated on the on the situation with the NYPD and over the assassination of your son. Please.
Yes, I will.
Black power to you, Queen. Thank you for everything.
All right,
that's what I'm talking about. NYPD, listen, you cannot talk the Panthers. We done been through this before. I don't even want to get into it, but some of y'all knows it got bloody. Let me just say that. 904-705, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. We're talking about rain, sleet, or hail
We prevail. Black power.
Black power. This is Brother Mikhail Muhammad, Jacksonville, Florida, State Chairman, New Black Panther Party.
Hey, the man in charge in Jacksonville. Black power, Brother Mikhail. Talk to us.
Well, brother, it was very successful. The chairman delivered a very powerful message. Of course, it has those forces angry and upset. As the brother said, the chairman was not welcome here. Mayor John Payton went on the morning news program to convince the chairman and myself and say that the New Black Panther Party message is only for thugs and criminals, brother, basically.
Mm. Yeah. Damn, John Payton. John Payton went out of his way to tell somebody who was welcome and who wasn't welcome.
And then on top of that, we had the police come out about 30 strong at the beginning before the event got started. They wanted to talk to the chairman. And I said, well, you need to talk to my chairman. Well, we just want to find out what would the message be. I said, you already know what the message is about. Why do we have to repeat ourselves? I said, if you stick around, you'll be able to hear the message. And so I said, when President Bush comes to a city, do the Black Panther Party interrogate him? Do we interrogate President Obama? I said, so, brother, that's not even open for debate. I said, you know, so we're going to close this conversation. And so we had FBI, Homeland Security, police. And you have to understand, Jacksonville is new territory for the Black Power movement, brother.
Right.
But all in all, brother, we were successful. The chairman delivered a very powerful message. And we just got to keep working, brother. We got to build on this event. We got to deal with the black boycott. And I'm just honored to be on point with the chairman and New Black Power Movement and the Black Panther Party, brother.
I don't want you to just glaze over it, though. You say at the beginning of the event, there's about 30 pigs was out there, right?
That's
30 of them. They wanted to talk to our chairman?
Of course.
And they want to have what kind of conversation?
To find out what was the message going to be about. Was it going to be a hate speech? Was it going to incite our youth and our people to violence, brother?
them abusing us as they doing, pulling us over 4D, that ain't hate?
That's it, brother. It's not hate.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to know. I'm just trying to get a feel for Jacksonville. And so, all in all, because you heard the brother earlier say that it was a great spirit, a great time. And so, tell us your sights and sounds, the message of the chairman, how he was received, and where Jacksonville's at now.
The chairman was received, and the chairman is building a base here, a foundation, to build the Black Power Movement and the Black United Front, brother. And, of course, it was Easter. We live in the Bible Belt capital of America. And so a lot of our people were distracted by Easter, but we believe that when we do the next event, June, there will be more of our people in attendance and supporting, brother. And we're going to get out on the front line, get out in the community. We're going to push this black boycott. We're going to continue to teach our people, brother.
Yes, sir. How successful was the black boycott in Jacksonville?
Oh, lukewarm, brother. Some listened and many didn't, you know. But we got to start, brother. We just got to keep working it, brother Shy.
Got to make a start. Some of us could not deal without the white man. We could not detach ourselves from the white man. We got to make a start, Brother Mikhail. And we made our start.
And we also had a controversy. There's a black woman who's a minister of a church. And she's a firebrand, and she made some comments about the Jews, that they controlled the wealth of this country, and they were involved in slavery, and the white folks got upset, so there were threats on her life by a front group for the Tea Party called Truth Wins Out. And they threatened the sister, said, we came on board to support the sister and warn them that any harm come to this black woman who's running for city council, there would be severe consequences. And, of course, the white folks got upset. And so why would she, you know, request the Black Panther Party to come on board and protect her when they're a hate group? So, brother, the chairman came here. It was a very tense situation in the city.
I saw that in one of the Jacksonville papers. They were lashing the sister, and you took a strong stance for it. I saw that.
Yes, sir. But that's our job, to defend stand up and protect our black women. And all this black power stuff means very little if we're not going to defend our communities, protect our women. We have to stand up like men. And I got to say, brother, a lot of our women are more stronger than the men. A lot of brothers
wow. Talk to us. Talk to us. Talk to the black man, Brother Mikhail.
Empower us and stop ducking and dodging from their duties and responsibilities as protector of the black woman, the black nation, and our black children, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what does Jacksonville do now? Where do we go from here, Brother Mikhail, and talk to the ones that want to sit back and think that we finish this for April 23rd? What do we do now?
Continue to work, brother. Continue to build. Continue to reach out to our people, brother. We must pick up our pace and our efforts.
Exactly, exactly. How can the people in Jacksonville contact you, brother? Those that want to get down with your movement and organize you to make it stronger, how can they contact you?
Mikhail45@live.com. M-I-K-H-A-I-L, number45@live.com. 904-705-8556.
Go ahead, black man. Listen, we want to definitely say before the world, brother, we appreciate the work that you're doing. We appreciate the way that you're moving, the way that you're organizing, the way that you're standing up. And when I say you, I'm also talking to the staff in Jacksonville, all the helpers and supporters. We appreciate the way that you brought our national chairman in, the treatment that you gave to him and that you all gave to him and the way that he was handled and protected. We appreciate you and love you for it, black man.
And we thank the black nation, and we will continue to do our job, and we're going to put the city of Jacksonville, Florida, on the map, and we want to raise up the living dead in the state of Florida. Black power.
Black power. Black power. And I got to give you a third black power. That's Brother Mikhail Sharif. Our Brother Mikhail Sharif's dropping it down. Listen, Jacksonville, we got to give you a round of applause wherever we are. You all stood up and represented in the face of much controversy and much opposition. Let me get the rest of these calls in for the chairman. Get on 706-294. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. In the rain, police and hair, we prevail. Black Power.
Black Power. This is Bobby Price out of Augusta, Georgia, New Black Panther Party. Black Power.
Comrade Bobby, what's going on with you, black man?
What's up, black man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well, my brother. Feeling blacktastic. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, man, it's always good to hear yours, too, man.
Brother, listen, I know what happened in Augusta, but tell the people what happened in Augusta. Give us the sights and the sounds.
Man, you know, we wanted to be on the ground, you know, do our part, you know, for the event. And we scheduled it at a time where we didn't know that these are going to be these crackers down here celebrating Confederate Memorial Day. They got some type of holiday, state holiday, man. So we're down here at the park posted up. And, you know, and they got our kids out here celebrating Easter, you know, collecting Easter eggs and shit. So I'm like, why are we teaching our babies about stuff that has nothing to do with our liberation?
Exactly.
You know, about our struggle. And then, you know, make it so bad, and it's 200 feet from where we are, there's a jail. There's a jail sits about seven stories high, full of black people. Mm. Young black men. Mm. So I was like, man, we got to lean into this. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we were like, man.
So what did you all do?
Man, we sued them, booed them, like we let them know, hey, why don't you give a damn about some Confederate dead? You know what I'm saying? This is about liberation. You know what I'm saying? We're about addressing the issues that's keeping us down as a people and teaching our children about their true identity and about their true purpose in this world. You know what I'm saying? We need to
exactly.
Hit them with that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So basically, they were coming out with the Confederate flags all rolled up. They wasn't expecting to see no type of opposition out there. You know what I'm saying? But we felt like we needed to make a statement that, hey, man, we don't give a damn about the Confederacy. You know what I'm saying? About honoring them. When they are responsible, man, you know what I'm saying? Of course, the United States as well, for the massacre and atrocities, you know what I'm saying, of millions of our people. So we need to wake up, man, and get real, man, and stop playing with it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Let me say something on that Confederate flag. I got to say that, and I'm not going to even veer from your point, not one second. On that Confederate flag, many of us, we get upset in the black nation, especially those of us that's in the South. We get upset over these Confederate flags, but we don't get upset over the American flag.
That's
I'm
right.
Here to say this, and I know you know what I'm saying, Brother Bobby. This is what we said at the beginning of the show. You got to bring both of them flags. You got to bring both of them flags, Confederate and American flag, because black people have caused hell under both flags.
Both flags.
And we're producing the Confederate flag with the American flag.
That too.
You know what I mean?
Give them hell.
So which flag did you all fly on that day?
Oh, yeah. What's that?
I was saying, which flag did you all represent on that day? I know the answer.
Red, black, and green, homie. You know what I'm saying? We're going to represent the red, black, and green to you know, from the cradle to the grave. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing we're going to represent.
Yes, sir. I saw you all. You were out there teaching the babies. And I want to say peace to the gods and the earths. That's your stance out there, teaching the babies. That's what Augusta Panthers is out there talking to the babies, brother. Yeah. I saw you all.
Yeah, man, we wanted to be on point with ours, and much love to our comrades, brothers and sisters out there in the struggle. You know what I'm saying? We got to be real about this, you know what I'm saying, and realize that ain't nothing going to change until we change it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We got to be determined, man. We got to be determined no matter what what the cost to bring about that change, man.
Right. So for those that are in your area around Augusta, how can they contact you, get in touch with you? Because I know you got all kind of people that's buzzing, that want to know how they can help, what they can do, and clean up Black Augusta. What can they do? How can they contact you?
They can hit us up by email. They can hit us up at AugustaGANBPP@gmail.com. Hit us up, and we were glad to get with you.
No doubt about it. Comrade Bobby, I want to definitely again thank you for all of your work, everything that you did, the staff there, all of you listening. We appreciate you and love you for your efforts and for standing up on that day on the 23rd, and there's work yet to do still.
Oh, yeah. It ain't over till it's over, man. We're going to do this until the day we die. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're going to get free or die trying. Black power.
Black power. And black power. That's Comrade Bobby. He already told you. It ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over. So we still rolling. Let me get you in here. 845-853, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. In the rain, police, and hell, we prevail. Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Talk black to me. Who we talking to?
It's Ishmael Shabazz, brother.
Talk to us. How was your National Day action, sir?
Oh, man, it was beautiful. I went down to Newark, New Jersey to support the brothers down there and learn something down there so I could come back up here. It was a beautiful day, brother. It was a beautiful day.
Yes, sir. So give us the play-by-play. What did you hear? What did you see? What did you learn?
They had a number of speakers, man, about, one speaker said, you know, how they're charging people for water. You know, they had a brother from the People's Organization of Progress. He was, man, he warmed my heart, brother. He was deep. It was a beautiful thing. It was beautiful after it ended. The messages was clear. It was organized. They had a number of speakers. It was worth it. I can't wait to have another one.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then what we did, after it was over, we went, man, to African eatery. First, one of the Muslim brothers there, we went to the mosque, and then we ate. We broke bread. It was mm-hmm. beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead.
They let me speak. I spoke about what was happening up here, you know, how they shot the young man in the head, you know, and that, it has to stop. We have to come together as one unit to stop it because it's happening all around the world. You know, and we got to stay strong.
Exactly. So what do we do now? In your opinion, what do we do now, Brother Ishmael?
We organize, brother. We organize. We got to continue to organize. We can't stop organizing. I came up here, showed some videos that I took, showed these young kids they're ready to organize. They're ready to get down. You know, they sorry they didn't come with me. But, that's my job, organize these young kids in my area. You know,
yes, sir.
I'm trying to start a Panther Party up here.
Right.
These kids got it. They need
right.
a guide, brother. And I'm going
right.
to lead them. I'm going to lead
yes,
them. Malik Shabazz and yourself, I'll follow you brothers, man, to the hellfire. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a beautiful thing.
We're going in there with you swinging. Trust me. How can the family contact you in your area? Tell the people what area of New York you're in. How can they contact you?
I live in Kingston, New York, about 30 miles from Albany. You can contact me at my email address is Baitul, B-A-I-T-U-L, the number one, at AOL.com. My cell number is 845-853-6548. I was down in New York today trying to hook up with I talked to some Panthers, you know, about what was happening. So I'm trying to organize, network with the brothers, because New York is a real close. So if I need some soldiers, I'm going to have to reach out. But they told me in Newark that if I need some soldiers to come up here to help organize, they with me.
And well, then you already know what's coming then. You already know what's coming, brother Ishmael.
I'm going to get it on and popping.
Come on with it. New York needs it all around, and so does the Black Nation. But Ishmael, we love you and appreciate you for everything that you did to help this movement, to help this cause, and the way that you're coming along. Brother, stay strong. We with you, Black man.
Yeah, I know you are, brother, and I'm with y'all too, brother. Black power, brother.
Black power. That's Ishmael Shabazz, another branch of New York, another branch of the New York tree. New York going to be mighty, mighty strong. Let's bring them on. 404-424, you're on the air. We're talking about rain, police, and hell. We prevail, Black power. 404-424, your mic is open, Black power. Right, let's keep it moving here. Let's keep it moving. 973-592. Your mic is open. Black power, rain, sleet, or hail.
Black power, we certainly prevail through the rain and the hail and the sleet and the police. This is Dashaun Farad.
Hey, Dashaun Farad, talk black to us. What was the sights and sounds on that day?
Well, first, I think it was more difficult for us to deal with the wind and the rain than it was for us to deal with the police. But we're thankful that the police department was very cooperative. We dealt with a brother who is in charge of the Community Affairs Division. He was very cooperative with us the whole time that we were there and before. But eventually, to show you the mercy of the God of my ancestors, as the day progressed, the weather got better. We started while it was drizzling. And, brothers, it was a powerful turnout, very powerful turnout. And we had brothers and sisters that were gathering around, and we gave a very powerful message. I had co-hosted along with Sister Chrissy, Brother Hannibal Rashidin, and Brother Zaid Muhammad, the National Minister of Culture for the New Black Panther Party, had keynoted it. But prior to his lecture, there was Brother Pastor Omar Wilkes. He was the one that was heading the march for the campaign to redeem Sister, not redeem, but to Justice to Atlanta Jones. The 7-year-old sister was killed by the Detroit police last year.
So give us the sights and the sounds. What was it like there? What happened? What was the message?
Brother, it was windy, Brother Sean, but like I said, it was windy and rainy, but after a certain time, brother, it was actually the day got better, but you had people bearing witness. There was to get the people's attention, our sound man had put on We had put on a DVD, a CD, Dr. Khalid, actually a Brother Malcolm. That was just one event. And then we opened up full blast, brother, full blast. But you know, New York City, we were in Black Mecca, Harlem.
Right.
And just to give you an idea, family, when we were at in front of the Adam Clayton Powell Building, are you familiar with, whenever you look at old footage of Malcolm. Malcolm is always standing when Malcolm was the national spokesman for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is doing his rally. Remember he was in front of a store that had black and brown faces in the background saying we're not the minority?
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that was Elder Michu, an activist and a bookstore owner. They were in front of his store, but they tore it down, and now standing in place is the Advocating Power State Building, which is where we rallied. And for years, that's where Malcolm and other activists had their street rallies in front of that building at the time. That was Elder Mitchell's store, brother. So, that's the story. And also, we had the original Panther Party as well. And also, Muhammad, Brother Tariq Khan, his last name is Muhammad, but Brother Tariq has spent 17 years as a political prisoner in New York City. New York has the most political prisoners throughout the whole country.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what? So in closing, what do you think we should do now, Brother Deshaun? What should we do now after the 23rd?
Well, we definitely have to have various follow-up programs, and I think, Pam, being a journalist, being a media man, this is our time to begin looking into forming our own TV and radio network, buying radio stations, but also going into the school, forming mentoring programs, forming block watches and civilian police force.
There it is. Brother Deshaun, we got to keep it moving. Thank you so much, my brother. Hotep and Black Power to you, sir. Thank you so much for everything that you did, the way that you organized, went in there and handled plenty of business. We appreciate you. Thank you for everything that you did, my brother.
Likewise, Black Power.
Black Power. Keep it moving. 404-424. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. We're talking about rain, sleet, and hail, and police. We prevail, Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm awesome, brother. It's Brother Hashim Nzinga out of Atlanta.
Yes, sir, brother. What's going on with you, Brother Hashim? That's the Chief of Staff. Talk to us.
Brother, I finally feel like we have grown, and the seeds are turning into trees, and the roots are damn deep.
Yes, sir. I heard you gave a hell of a lecture on that day. What was your message about?
Well, my message, being from a national perspective, is letting the youth know and letting our people know that this didn't happen by accident. This wasn't something that's just lucky. And this is 20-some years of work. You don't get the black people to come out in the streets in New York, South Africa, Atlanta, Chicago, Gambia, Norfolk, London, St. Louis, Nashville, and Newark, and Philadelphia, and all over the country, because you give a call. People give a call all the time that's ignored. But my message to the brothers and sisters yesterday, Brother Sean, was this day of action and unity, and a call to action by Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the chairman of the New Black Panther Party. Happened because Dr. Khalid Muhammad went into Jasper, Texas in 1998. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to remind the people it happened because Dr. Khalid Muhammad did a million youth march.
Right.
You know, it happened because Dr. Khalid Muhammad went to Riverside, California and got shot down like a dog.
Teach.
It happened because our leader, your leader, Attorney Shabazz's leader, was a leader that he was with the Nation of Islam, but he was a Black Panther, but he was a nationalist, but he was a Pan-Africanist. He taught us that no matter who we were, as long as we were black, we dealt with black people. So he always put in us a Black Power movement.
Exactly.
He cared about the Bloods. He had told the Bloods, if you're going to be Bloods, bloody your enemies. He cared about the Crips, but he told the Crips, if you're going to be Crips, cripple your enemy.
That's right.
He cared about the 5%. He'll shoot out to him. What's up? Peace to the gods. So
right.
He taught Brother Divine. He taught Brother Zai. He taught you. He taught us all around the country. He taught the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
That all our
That's right.
people.
Right.
To take the move this nation. And you know, he would find Dr. Khalid in Egypt, in Gambia. He would be he was a traveler. So he left that and embedded that into us. And so I was just trying to tell the people, you don't get a national day and people come out all around the world and respect your organization if you hadn't done the work and planted the seeds and watered the fields and kept the weeds from the plants. So Attorney Shabazz, after 2001, when our national chairman, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, made his transition. We had a choice in the New Black Panther Party. We could fold up the tent. We lost our leader.
Right.
Or we can bury our leader and give him an honorable burial. And we can do what he wanted us to do, continue his work. So we went on into Duke when the sister got raped. We went on into West Virginia and fought for Megan Williams. We went on into Jamestown, Virginia and shut it down when they tried to celebrate. We went into Harlem and blocked Bill Clinton from coming into Harlem. We went into Paris, Texas and fought for Brother Brandon McClain. We came into Atlanta and fought for Queen Sister Justin when they shot her down, a 2-year-old queen. We fought the DeKalb County Police. We went on in to Harlem and fought when they shot that brother who was on his way to be married the next day.
Right,
you know,
right.
This happened. We came to Mike Roberts and we did a Black Power conference, and then we came right back to Atlanta and went to Morris Brown, and you and many others came down and we did a National Black Power convention. So we got to let the youth know you don't get lucky. You don't move black people because they just want to be moved. You move them because you do the damn work, man.
Right.
We've been in the trenches, man, and we've been on the front line, man. And finally, we're beginning to get our respect. And Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz has grown up now.
Yes,
and
sir.
Now he has started a movement, and this white man is shaking in his pants. This man took the world yesterday. When Huey P. Newton was stopped in jail, and the white man said they're trying to kill Huey P. Newton to stop the Black Power movement, Huey P. Newton told him it was too late to stop the Black Power movement. It's in China now. It's in Gambia now. It's in Zimbabwe now. Well, you can't stop the Black Power movement. You can't stop the new Black Panther Party, because now we are everywhere.
Exactly.
That's what yesterday proved. But it came, you know, Brother Lenny out here in Atlanta, and Brother Kente and others, they worked hard and they put together a great program. But my message was, don't you for one damn minute think that this came because a person did a flyer.
Because
a person did a damn radio advertisement. This came because of 20-something years of hard work.
Hard labor.
It came because people got their cars repossessed. People got their houses foreclosed on. People got their light bills cut off to do this work. You understand? We had our National Minister of Justice when we was in South Carolina fighting for the brother who was lynched, hitchhiked from Atlanta to South Carolina to do a damn press conference.
Say that.
So we're talking about Northern and our National Minister of Justice, Brother Akbar, who did a hell of a job yesterday in D.C. I'm just saying, brother, all over the country, Black Panthers ought to feel good about themselves that the chickens are coming home to roost because we've done the work, brother. And I'm so proud of McSherman for calling this and reminding us, if nothing else we can say from yesterday, enough Negro stuff, you know. And then my message was, Brother Sean, I didn't even want to mention the white man yesterday.
Right.
I wanted to mention the black man yesterday.
Right.
I wanted to mention Garvey yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention Booker T. Washington yesterday and Malcolm yesterday and Harriet Tubman yesterday. I wanted to talk about us taking control over our education system, our health, our employment, our politics, what we can do. Because as long as we're asking the white man to do something for us, our babies are going to be asking the white man to do something for us. And I'll wrap up because I know a lot of people need to talk, but I want to say this and be clear.
Yes, sir.
We went back to the oldest bones that they found on this earth, on this planet, belonged to a black woman in Tanzania, Africa. So black women need to get out of them short skirts and stop swinging on them poles and understand they are the mother of civilization and get back to raising these babies and taking care of our community and educating our babies and keeping the man healthy so they can go back on the front line. So we talked about the black women and the plight of the black women, and we talked about Shaka Zulu, man. We talked about the
Mau Mau. We got the chairman on, so got to close you out. But go ahead,
when we get the chairman on,
got to move.
I can stop right here because I'm ready to hear from the chairman.
Yes, sir. And
but
so
you got the
man,
point.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you, Brother Hashim. We appreciate all the work that you did and everybody in Atlanta. Hats off to you and all of the staff, Black man. We love you, Black. Appreciate you.
We love you too, brother. I'm ready to hear the chime.
It's Black Power. Brothers and sisters, this is definitely that the point in the show that we have been waiting on, the point in the show that we've been expecting. And we want you now to receive our national chairman. And I have to say, the man that gave the call, the man that gave the initial call for us to stand up and come together as a people, brothers and sisters, help to welcome our national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Doctor and Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Black Power, sir.
Hey, Black Power, Brother Sean, and to all of those in the listening audience, and to those who have come on this broadcast tonight and who will come on after me, I just wanted to come on for just a brief moment to say thank you. Thank you all so much for every laborer every brother or sister who participated to help make the National and International Day of Action and Unity a success and a reality. I want to thank you all, everyone. And, of course, I want to thank the New Black Panther Party. That goes without saying. For those who are in the Panther Party who really, really got up and pushed this and did what they were supposed to do, I thank you very much. I want to thank the TOPS, the Ordinary People's Society, for the cities that they brought on board, and for all of the labor that have gone into the life of struggle of Pastor Kenneth Glasgow and Brother Dennis and others, and whose labor was of those years was brought to bear, and he was able to make a mighty contribution in this coalition. I'm talking about the International and National Organizing Committee for this day of action. I want to thank him. I want to thank everybody that participated. I want to thank Sister Linnea in St. Louis. I want to thank Sister Ayera down there in Midland. I want to thank Brother Elijah in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to thank everyone, those in North Carolina that got harassed by the police. Keep on struggling. I want to thank Sister LaWanna and Brother John Kimmett Shabazz down there in West Virginia for standing up in the midst of being surrounded by white hostile forces. I want to thank those who are overseas in England and Zimbabwe, and thank all everybody, especially in Washington, D.C. Thank Sister Aisha and Imam Akbar for really coming out of them projects in Washington, D.C. and sending a message to the White House that we are not with this bombing of Africa. And so I'm pleased, so pleased with so many. And everyone, of course, it goes without saying we thank King Samir. It goes without saying we thank Divine Allah and Brother Bashir Akinyele and Absalom, Larry Ham, those from the People's Organization for Progress, the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition, those in New York, Dashan, who fought through the obstacles and the hard knocks to make it to the end zone in New York. And many others. I know I'm missing some. Sister Lady Freedom, Spicer down there in Georgia. Brother Bobby in Alabama. Bobby in Augusta. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Thank Miss Brother McHale and James and all of those who were with me. Brother Leslie and all of the sisters and the queens and the Nation of Islam who was with me in Jacksonville. It's a beautiful thing to do and engage in liberation in unity. And it makes us feel so good that we did it all at one time. It is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing to those of you who are from the enemy forces who are listening, and TV forces and FBI forces. We have a happy announcement to you tonight that you thought that you had killed the rise of a black Messiah, but you have not been able to kill the spirit of the black Messiah and the spirit of the masses. We have to thank Sister Brenda in Chicago, old noble black God Yorugu, Craig Combs, all of those coming up in Chicago. It's a beautiful thing, again, when we see a mass movement coming up for a united black front and for power for our people. I want to let all y'all know that as much as the New Black Panther Party is willing to be the vanguard and go out front, we stand side by side with our fellow organizations and brothers and sisters in a solid wall. Thanks to Brother Louis Ali in Baton Rouge. Thanks to Silky Slim down there in Baton Rouge. Thanks to Sister Stella down there in Houston. I mean, when we come together in unity, when our nia, our purpose, is self-determination and we're wrapped in umoja or unity, knowing that we have nothing but collective work and responsibility, ujamaa, cooperative economics, a buy black campaign, I mean, man, this is liberation in motion. This is liberation in practice, not in theory. And so I feel very good tonight. I feel like I'm on a mother plane, a spiritual mother plane, as a result of April the 23rd. And I will say as we go off this line, I apologize to anybody I missed. I thank everybody. Thank Sister Tracy, Sister Taisha out there in Riverside, California, Sister Tracy who was manning behind the line, Sister Amira. Oh, you know anybody working on my staff, they gonna catch it. Sister Amir and Brother Sean, day in, day out, night in, night out, still able to bring the paycheck home to pay the bills and still around the clock working day in and day out. It's a beautiful thing to have a vision and to see it manifest in reality in front of your eyes. It's a beautiful thing to come from the mind and from the deep womb of the mind and to see it carried out and to live amongst the people. And so we're just, for the new Black Panther Party, we're just side by side with our brothers and sisters in ranks like a solid wall. No major, no minor, no higher, no lower. And so this is our time. If you're in the new Black Panther Party, know that the eyes are on you. Know that the attention is on you. Know that you got to really, 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 really get it right and tight right now, if not ever, because the people are depending on you. And know here from us, from me and your chairman, but also a brother here who is now reaching out to the masses. Know that we are following up. Know that this is not, we guys just going to celebrate here. We're just giving a break for a few days because it's right to celebrate. It's right to now take in the harvest. It's right to now say shukran or to say asante sana or thank you, brother and sister. It's right now to go ahead and feast for a moment after such hard labor. But know that we're coming up on June 25th, Day of Action 2, national and international. And for all of those who did not have a chance to join but now are inspired now to say, oh, now I see what they were trying to do. To say, oh, I had read the lies of the liar and the deceiver, Abraham Foxman, but now I see it in my own eyes. God and my consciousness have spoke to me, and I know that this is where I'm supposed to be with this United Black Front and this Day of Action movement. Now you have your chance now. Saturday, June the 25th, you have your chance to join on. For those who are into Panther and Panther ideology, original Panther ideology, June 25th is your day. We want to take free food and free clothing programs to the masses, not just by the Panther Party. We want to work with those like Sister Goldie down there in Little Rock and others and all of you all. Take free food and clothing programs to the masses. Take rallies and marches to the masses in the hood. It could be on the state capitol, but it can be right in the hood. Take the free health clinics and programs and the testing, blood pressure, HIV testing, take it to the masses on the 25th in unity. We're going to take to where they are murdering our people like we did in Philadelphia. We're going to take to these precincts. We're going to move on these police precincts to let them know that the end of police brutality is right around the corner. And so this is that day and that hour where the dry bones are really coming together and standing together. Thank you, Sister Brenda, again. I may have missed. I'm going to come back to her again. Because opposition, according to the Holy Quran, is necessary. Trials are necessary to purify. Opposition is necessary to gain success as God is moving us from stage after stage till he completes our eventual perfection. We are family. All of y'all know we're family. We're brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and aunties and cousins. We're family. The same dog that's biting you anywhere in the nation or the world is biting us too. Whether we have some money or we ain't got no money, we're all in the same boat. And so this is the great time of unity. This is the great time of fulfilling the prerequisite of black nationalism. Hell, the prerequisite of that is black unity. We don't want just black nationalists, black nationalism for the black nationalists. We don't just want black nationalism for those that have the red, black, and green on their wristband or on their headband or on their patch or their uniform. We want black nationalism for the masses. We want self-determination for the masses. We want Pan-Africanism for the masses. We want justice for the masses. Hmm? Even if they lock behind bars, Pastor Glasgow, man, they are all a part of our movement. This is the day where we go after and get our people and take them in the right direction. So God is truly the greatest. I thank God for the ancestors, and I thank him for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, because I think that he can understand, that we can understand his mission more by looking at his students and his representatives and to see the way that he taught us about the value of all of the tribes of the black nation, all of the schools of thoughts in the universal black nation, how he taught us to love our brothers and sisters, whether they were Muslim, Pan-Africanist, Christian, wherever they are. He taught us love for all of our people and took us in a revolutionary direction. And we are in that time of revolution, there's no doubt about, complete constructive change. This day in this call brought an FBI national alert, and state and local police were running around everywhere like they were just out of their minds, because they're used to focusing on one area, one city, and one leader. They're used to looking and saying, this is where Attorney Shabazz is. Let's see who's with him. And we have them contained now in Atlanta, contained in Georgia, contained in New York, contained in Washington, D.C. God damn it, you may have tried to stop me in Atlanta on the way to Jacksonville, but if you would have stopped me in Atlanta and I didn't make it to Jacksonville, I would have ran right out that airport and went right to my rally in Atlanta. Or I may have skipped over that and went to Augusta. And if you try to trap me there, then we broke out in New York and Newark and Philly and Illinois and Louisville. We off the chain, man. Off the chain. Off the chains of slavery. No, this is not just about the leadership of Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. I thank those who believe in it. But my job here is to find the leader in you. My job is to raise the leadership up in you, the soldier in you, the warrior in you, the god or the goddess in you. My message in this hour is the same power that set Khalid Abdul Muhammad is the same power that can set you in motion. The same power that sets Louis Farrakhan, Silas Muhammad in motion, the same power that sets and can set you in motion. The same power that sets all of us, Sean Kwali, Amira, those who you love on the front lines in the Panther Party, the same power that sets us in motion, sets you in motion. Because there is only but one life force, one source, one black God from the beginning until the end. He just changes forms. This is our day and our hour. We're moving forward to June 25th. Next week, we will tell you about our Ministry of Economics. Next week we will tell you that, and we might as well tell you, go ahead right now and start building them local United Black Fronts. Have the meetings now of the local United Black Fronts. Come together in unity around a table and a circle and a government and establish these ministries of economics. Local ministries of economics, national ministries of economics, and we're setting up international ministries of economics. Local ministries of education, national ministries of education, international ministry of education. Local ministry of culture, national ministry of culture, international ministry of culture. Local ministry of defense, national ministry of defense, international ministry of defense. Local ministry of youth, national ministry of youth, international ministry of youth. I mean, the list is going to go on and on as we build this nation. And our website will be like a central force, a headquarters, a mother plane for all of this information. You can come online and consult with experts that are working with the youth around the country. Thanks to Pastor Ted Sutton of the Maryland Church of God in Christ in Baltimore, Maryland, who here for in Baltimore had three different events. They moved on the so-called Jews who had beat that black youth and that black teen in Baltimore, and they let them know that we have not, that we are right here in front of your education center in the Jewish community, letting you know that we have not forgot that you are still continuing our Holocaust, and a stop is going to be put to it in the name of Jehovah. In the name of Yahweh, a stop is going to be put to the abuse of our people by others and by ourselves. They rallied for Eddie Conway, Brother Haki, Black Power to you in Baltimore. We cannot build any movement without focusing on political prisoners and still with Mumia in the South. Oh, brothers and sisters, I got to go. I didn't come on to go on and on because I want to let some others come on and give their shout out. And we're going to do this all week and set this radio show up for longer and stronger. Other hosts will come on and host these shows. And we just going to get free. We're going to stop attacking each other, stop dragging each other through the mud, stop being negative towards each other and doubtful towards each other. It's time to forgive each other and embrace each other. This is our day of Harambe. This is our day where we will all pull together. I am just your servant. I am merely your laborer. I am trying to carry out a vision, but that vision is not given to me. I'm just trying to carry on that which I got for all of those great ones that came before me and staying in tune and with the tide of revolution that is sweeping the planet and trying to humbly understand that when God speaks, it's time to get quiet. That when you see God moving in the midst under the laws of Mayat, and when you see this change come that was represented on the 23rd, be very mindful that God is real. I bow to you, brothers and sisters. Let's move on towards the 25th. Make your preparations now. Get it all set up early. Everybody under the sound of my voice, if you're a member of our family, you're welcome. Even if you're not black and you are of the red family, warrior woman, it's time now. All of the oppressed, if you're with our cause for black liberation, we will back your cause. The same dog that bites you bites us too. If you're with the brown family and you're really with us, we'll back you too. So if y'all want to stand up and join, you can have your part in the Day of Action and Unity number two. But this is the time of the end of the oppression of the white minority rule of the darker peoples of the planet. This is the time when the white man's inordinate rule over the planet is the sun is setting. White world supremacy is on its way out. It's on its way out. And this September 23rd was just another step in that direction. It is time now for the rule of God, for the rule of the righteous people. It is time for the end of capitalism. Blood-sucking capitalism that is sucking the blood and exploiting the people. It's time to share the wealth, clean up the water, clean up the air, clean up the people, and under the laws of Mayat, set justice in the earth. You are that generation of Heru. You are that new hero that the world is celebrating. Justice shall be set in the earth, and Satan will be taken, or Seth, or Satan shall be taken out of power for murdering our forefather, Asar. And the womb, Aset, of the black nation is producing a new child, a new leadership. You are that leadership. May God bless you as I greet you in peace. Black power, assalamu alaikum, shalom, hotep, peace, God, free the land, ready for the revolution, Habari Ghani, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and black law for all black people. Love you for life.
Love you too, sir. Love you too, dear family. That's our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And you heard it here. You heard it here. Get ready now. Get ready right now for the next National International Day of Action. Don't be caught waiting. Don't be caught waiting. Let's bring on some more callers here. 718-593. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. We're talking about rain, police, and hail. The will prevail. Black Power. 718-583. Your mic's open. Black Power. All right, got to know your area code. Got to know the code. 415-571. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Rain, sleet, or hail, we prevail. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. This is Queen Nandi out here in San Francisco.
Hey, what's going on, San Fran? Talk to us, Queen Nandi. How'd the national action go?
Well, it went, you know what, I'm not going to say, well, it went rather well, but it was unusual, spiritual, how can I say it? Something happened. Okay, let me break it down to y'all, brothers and sisters, okay? So one of the things, we were blindsided by, I'm not going to say blindsided, but I would say like the comrades from Pakistan or whatnot had a action to get the U.S. out of the Middle East right at the same time. But what happened right. with ours, that went rather well. Okay, they had a large crowd, but then what that was a spiritual tapping to me to let the crowd know that I had, because I was expecting the same thing pretty much. Yes, I was, 100,000, but nothing of the sort. They had a bigger crowd, but so what? But that's one of the things I talked to folks with. I said, okay, mm-hmm. we have a turnout for ours, and I felt blessed for a turnout that we had and that the youth expressed unity and love. They did. But that was one of the points I used to create a workshop after everything was said and done. See, I wasn't expecting that. That's why I said the spiritual tap came in. I said, you see how everybody else is looking out for themselves? White
right.
man can't just do them any kind of way. White man just can't do the yellow brother any kind of way. White man just can't do the what they call a sand brother any kind of way. White man just can't do the brown brother any kind of way. Without them, they going to let you know something on what's on their mind, how they feel about how you going to do them. And I said,
right.
why is it such, why is it not with us? What is your fear? And so I opened a lot of eyes just with that. I had to give love to Mama Junebug because it was pretty much in our hands. But like I said, it took these twists and turns like Oya. I give it to that spiritual goddess Oya. I give it to goddess Oya for that one because it took spiritual turns like a storm. Because it went from that, okay, we have the youth. They came out and said they did, and they expressed the love. I was really proud of the youth for those who did come
right,
out. They had my
little cousin. Sam Fran was representing for the youth that day, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so okay. it was beautiful that the kids expressed love. The kids were expecting. I say, you help your elder with the bag, you help the sister with the bag, and they had no problem doing that as long as you showed them with love. And then the other twist came from as it turned into the evening, you know, my thing is Sunday dinner, and here I guess this is why I got my spiritual feeding of why Sunday dinner is so important, because when I began to fix my Sunday dinner, that drew another crowd. I had made some pot roast. I made nice spinach, nice little, you know, garlic mashed potatoes, made it real nice and creamy. And then just the aroma brought another crowd to in front of my house.
So by this time, I had a rush.
I'm feeling good at this time. I'm like, okay, yeah, come on in. Just one rule I ask you, y'all take off your shoes. That's all. You take off your shoes before you come into my house, and I didn't discriminate. It was one sister, she had white wine. I didn't discriminate. One sister was a Baptist. One sister was a Christian. There was a lot of sisters, too. It was a few brothers that just came and let it be known, you know, we respect that the women are starting to take the charge because that's who we learn from. And see, that was a very valuable point, and I was very impressed that this brother, we never said too much of a word to each other before the 23rd. But that he came and just said, you know what, I guess that it, y'all is the first teachers. I said, that's right. We are the first teachers. And then what happened it turned into a sister conference. So,
okay,
you know, I'm going to
okay.
share what I have. I'm going to share what I have. Just like I know you heard that old, the OG tale where they said the garlic water away the evil spirits. Well, the garlic brought the good ones to my house because I cooked with plenty of garlic last night. So, too. But see, the garlic brought a lot of them. And you know, and I didn't knock it. So it turned, like I said, these twists and turns for the 23rd, I just got to rush. Like, I got to do more. We're going to have another thing coming on May 19th. It's called Stand Up for Yours Day. We're going to be
Stand
hitting
up
these for yours because
day.
One of the things, though, too, because the crowd turned off sound because some of these youngsters felt like they had plantation limitations. And what I mean by plantation limitations is that they feel like, okay, I'm from this set. You can't go up to the next set because you're going to get killed. Check this out, youngster. You don't own that. Your parents don't own that. Why do you own that? So why you
right,
guys are,
exactly.
So that's another
exactly.
issue that we're going to bring up on, too. I'm going to touch on every single issue that we can talk about. And that was another issue, the plantation limitation. I was like, well, sister, you know, we can't go up that way. You know, we love to join. And I was like, see, I ain't trying to hear that. Because we, that's
right.
when we need to put together our money, and then it goes back to owning your own land. Why not? We not
exactly,
own our own land.
Exactly. So,
it's time to own
now,
your own
land.
Let me ask you this.
What was the spirit of the youth, and what do we do now?
Well, the spirit of the youth right now is that one thing it told me, I think, you know, because I'm in litigation with these folks right now because, you know, I'm standing up for my rights. But I think one of my destinies is, one of mine, I'm speaking for sisters, too, that was out there that brought a lot of things to the table. Let's be those teachers and the nurturers we were, because I touched a lot of people that I wasn't expecting to touch, brother. A lot of them came as the so-called roughneck youth, or he bad as hell, whatever. It didn't matter who, what kind of child, what kind of condition he was. I touched that child.
Right.
I tapped into my ancestors. I used that
right.
lid. I used my mama. I put the altar up. I lit the candles. I did what I was supposed to do because they came to me, too. Now, see, there's a lot of things that they came to me, and I can't discuss on this radio. That has to be like,
okay.
you know, me, you, Brother Shabazz, and thing. That's something that's kind of like on an intimate level, because that's the kind of receiving that I felt. But, see, one
gotcha.
Of the things is for sisters, I see that's one of the things in the household. I'm not saying, okay, you know, you have to cook or whatever. But if you know how to cook, you know, bring that recipe back into that household, too, because it turned out we had a whole conference just for a simple recipe.
Exactly.
That's
exactly,
why it was
exactly.
so important for when they say the slaves had the Sunday dinner back in the day. And now I see why it was so important. See, it takes to see in between 30. It wasn't just about, you know, protesting out and just going out, but I was very impressed on how we turned it and put the script and turned it to a home comfort. Where
right.
now we're going to eat and we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about this. And
right.
you'll be astonished. I have
and
took
that's,
down
and that's
a lot
an of notes. That's an important point, Nandi. We got to get back to sitting down at the table as a family, not just
that's
on dialogue,
right.
but I'm saying straight dinner. That's important. That's when the tradition
is very successful.
About
and I'm going to give y'all the written report on that, too. It was very successful because a lot of
and
sisters,
we
got, like
we
I got didn't to judge.
Keep it, got to keep it short. Now
I
got
didn't,
other
okay,
go
I didn't
ahead.
Judge on their condition, though. But it turned out to be very successful. And it's time for us women to start getting back into this, too. That's my whole point. Let's get to these children because the children are the future. And it was very successful on that point, too. You know, and I just want to give love out there. April 19th, we have another event coming up, Stand Up For Yours Day, where we're going to be hitting these hoods, letting these kids know about their rights and educating them some more, because if I'm going to be the teacher, that's my place, y'all. And I just want
that's
to give a thumbs up, thumbs down to y'all. Black power, and I love you.
Black power, love you too. Now, this is what I'm talking about. San Francisco, now, mind you, we've gone from the east to the west. We've gone from the east to the west, and like the national chairman told us, it's going to be all week. We're going to have all kind of reports coming in. Let's get some more here. 313-778, you're on the air in the rain, sleet, snow, hail, and police. We prevail, Black power.
Yes, Black power.
I
just wanted to say Black power, and this is Sister Adelia calling in from the
yes,
D.
Ma'am. How was your April 23rd?
Actually, you know, I'm operating in a different kind of an atmosphere, just to be very honest with you. I am trying to get the funding towards our community, towards our family, so that Black men and women can marry each other again, so that we have funding so we can function like normal human beings again. And
right.
I'm dealing with corporate entities directly, and
okay.
and even some of the ones of color that they have working on their behalf that were trying to stop us from making sure that African American men and women secure work. So on the 23rd, I actually got an email from one of the presidents of the Black-owned company, and he didn't send me any message, just sent me a blank email, like acknowledging that I'm talking to his contract, to his
mm-hmm.
company that he's working for, and he didn't send me any kind of notice. So I'm dealing with intimidation, subtle intimidation on that level.
Okay.
And I didn't say anything.
Okay.
I didn't send anything back to him. But I'm getting the message that he's letting me know that the contract company that they're working for has said something to them, and he now knows it. Because I was talking to one of his cohorts, I mean one of his underlings, and mm-hmm. the president sent me an email with nothing on it, no comments, no conversation. And I guess if I was some whiff, I would be afraid, you know, like, what are you doing coming in here, making us be accountable for making sure we hire black people and we're black? Why are you doing it? Because they haven't been. Because it hasn't been happening. You can look at construction sites all over America, and every time you look at one, you look around and you see how many dark people you see.
Exactly. What's going to be your stance on that?
Well, with the colored person, is that I'm not going to say anything to him. I'm going to act like he didn't send me anything, but I'm putting it in a file so that if I have to get into a discussion with him about it, I'm just going to ask him to talk to his contractor about it. So, see, sometimes, and I'm going to just say this, once we become millionaires, we don't want people to know that we're trying to look out for our people directly. We think we have to sneak and do it. Whereas I go directly to the white people and say, you all owe us and you have to pay us and you have to give us the rights. And I know that person that you contracted is supposed to be doing that, but they don't care about the underlings. They don't care about the laborers. They don't care about the community. They only care about the few that can come up and represent a company, and then hire a few black people. I'm going after the black people directly. I'm going after the people of color directly because you all aren't going to go after them. And as a matter of fact, before you shred the list up, because they called their office in mass, because I had a Moore brother on the ground distributing this flyer to everybody in this town. And this chick said, these people are calling up in here, you know, and I can't even handle this. This isn't even my job description to be taking all these calls from all these people calling about work. I said, because you need to know that they're out here trying to get in to get some work, and for some reason even the unions aren't letting brothers in who are union because they're black.
I'm way out.
I'm unorthodox. I'm not going to sit around. I told the white man, I'm Sister Adelia, period. That's it.
Right.
You can't handle that. No, I'm not a corporate person. No, I don't work for one of the black-owned general contractors. I'm an African of America who was representing myself because I used to be in you all's business, and I'm not anymore. I told the colored girl that, too. I said, I know you don't do this. I know you don't care about dealing with our people directly anymore,
but I'm here, and I don't have to work for you.
I ain't working for the white guy. I ain't working for the colored guy. So if y'all get right, or then I send it to the press secretary of the complex, the corporation.
Yes,
I said, she's black.
Ma'am.
I sent the whole conversation to her. I said, so the next level would be...
Gotcha, Moo. You're lost today. Listen. Much love to you and everything that you're doing up there in Detroit. Keep your fight going. We just don't have time for the whole story right now, but we love you. Stay strong. Let me get these last in here. 773-988. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Yes. I sound like Brother Sean and Kathy. That's up in the listening audience. I just wanted to give big ups to brother that worked with me, Brother King Boo, because he did so much in helping and making the event in Chicago a success. I have to give some kudos to King Boo because my brother did a lot of work. I have to give it to him. I just wanted to put that out there. But I wanted to say to you about Chicago, that is, that, you know, what we, the main focus should be, as to all of us, is solidarity, no matter what our religious persuasion is, no matter what grassroots organization you come under. You know, our main goal is to be a collective group. Now, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm that. The whole reason why we are so ignored, and that they don't look at us as being a legitimate nation is because we are so divided.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to say that regarding the National Day of Action in Chicago is that we're looking to for the next one on the 25th. But the one that happened on the 23rd, it was so positive. And it doesn't matter if you don't have an overwhelming crowd, you know.
Okay.
You know, just like a sister came on the scene and the sister said, made a comment, and the sister said, another sister said to her, the movement start with you. It don't take a whole lot of people.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And in the book it says, when a few men are joined together, I am with you. So God is in the book for this. This is not, we may be the workers, and we may be the ones that's in the trenches and working, but this is something God called for us to do way a long time ago. How many teachers, how many educators have said this to us? How long would it take for us to move out on that plan? What's
right.
taking so long?
That's
so heartbreaking. To see us as a people so divided, it makes me so sad. But
right.
you know what? I got hope.
Yes, ma'am. You, sister, the work that you and Brother King Boo and all the brothers and sisters on the ground are doing, let me tell you this, it is producing a hope in Chicago that will have long-lasting effects. I bear witness. So, hell, we just got to keep going and keep tracking, because we're laying some tracks for the future.
Yes, and the youth are crying. They are asking for the elders, the older group, the ones that's been in the struggle a long time. What can you identify what the problem is? I mean, can you work to make a plan? We need to put our dollars and our message behind what we are saying. I mean,
right.
not our message, but our work behind what
right.
we are saying. Because the youth are looking at us, and they're
exactly.
saying if we're serious, you know,
right.
if we're not serious about this, they want you to get out the way.
Exactly.
We cannot hold back ourselves by being divided. We have to,
right.
no matter who brought you into the truth, you should remember that each of them had a message of deliverance. It was not
right.
different than the other. That person may have brought you in and you give homage to them, but the struggle must go on. We cannot, if someone come in and they get disgruntled, you can't sit back and wait on him and pick him up. You got to, just like if you was in a fight, you was a soldier in a fight, and one
right.
of your comrades was killed to knock over and you the miss in a fight, you're going to have to keep stepping. And as fast as you
right.
step, you're going to have to step over that brother or sister that may be down on the ground, but you cannot stop fighting.
That's
so
right.
I just
That's right.
say that, and we have to remember those key factors for mobilization and organization, leadership, and political opportunity. This is what we need to be on. And we worry about the white man and what he's doing. We got to keep on working as if he don't even exist. You can work your, we can work our plan around him. He's nothing but a pea in the sand. So I just wanted to put that out there and tell about our event in Chicago. And I thank you, Brother Sean, and I'm listening to them tell their stories to what happened. I'm so pleased to hear that, you know, at least, you know, and then it goes to going from each city where you live, each side of town. Don't stay in one area. Go to
right.
another area. You know, if you was on the south side of Chicago, this National Day of Action, go to the west side, then go to the north side. You know,
exactly.
this is what we need to do.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Sister Brenda, we appreciate you, and as I said, what I'm saying is, with all sincerity,
We appreciate you and everything that you've done, the way that you've organized, the way that the staff is organized, and we look to do much more with you all on the ground in Chicago. There's going to be a new Chicago when this is over.
Yes, sir.
Mark
yes,
my words on that one. By the grace of God, our forefathers and foremothers and our ancestors.
Yes, Brother Sean, I just have to give some kudos to you, too, before I leave. Just give me a minute. Brother Sean, I have to say, I have to pass the word to you all. He was very fiery. I mean, he came in out that car. I said, I never met Brother Sean before. I looked up, I said, let's me, brother, get all that fire. But, you know, my brother had us, we was fired up. When he spoke, I just had to give some kudos to you, Brother Shaw, because you really did bring spirit in. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Whatever kudos you give to me, you know I'm going to give right back to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Salaam alaikum, Sister Brain. We appreciate you. You know we're going to be on the ground real soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Salaam alaikum to you, brother.
Man, that's Sister Brenda. That's Chicago, Illinois. For those of you that's in Chicago, listen, I know it's windy. I know it's the windy city, but, hell, we're going to be blowing in the right direction. Let me try to get these last two in here. 304-365, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. Rain, hail, and police, we prevail, Black Power.
Peace. Peace. How you doing,
peace.
Brother Sean?
Peace. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How was your April 23rd?
April 23rd was wonderful here in Morgantown, West Virginia. We represented. We had a little difficulty. We had to go through some little bit of barriers because we had got a commitment from the city's new city African American city manager, and we got word that he had pulled out, sounded like at the last minute, and so we had to be able to go and get some local grassroots activists, and we brought in a local grassroots activist named Sister Amy Parks, who I've been knowing for years. She did a wonderful job. She brought us some knowledge, some wisdom, and I got to say it again, she brought us the fire, brought us the statistics on gentrification in the state specifically and in the local region in terms of the building of prisons and the neglect of the grassroots working class people and the monopolization of these corporate entities that are proliferating throughout the state. Also, she went in on the fact that the Hispanic population is getting a lot of play, and they're in her view, they're using the Hispanic population as a way to try to create division and play a game with us, right? But
right.
There's also a group of sisters that came in called Ambitious Young Minds. I want to thank Sister LaWanna Logan for her logistics in bringing those sisters in, because it's a wonderful thing to be able to see young African-American sisters trying to develop, working to develop a mentorship program for even the younger females than themselves. We're talking about sisters between the ages of, these sisters are like in their 20s, but they're developing a mentorship program for black females between the ages of say 13 on up to 18, teaching them how to, present their referrals for jobs and so forth, things of that nature. We also, I myself spoke. We had other speakers come in. The issue of the Herbert Henderson Office of Minority Affairs was also dealt with to the extent that I think I mentioned that one time before to your audience that that bill was a bill that was hung up in the Senate for like the last 3 years. So
right.
We dealt with that. We dealt with the specifics on that and got some signatures on that from people in the audience. We had pretty close to 30, 40 people. Again, we intended to have it outside in front of the courthouse, but it started raining and I had my equipment out there. So we had to move it to the Salvation Army. Salvation Army showed goodwill. You know what I mean? Even though it's a so-called Bureau agency and so forth, they show goodwill. So, you know, those of you that got your swords up, you know, put your swords down on that one right there. But we got help from people of goodwill on it, right? And one other thing I wanted to tell you about is that I sent you a link. One of my old school homegirls from the Shenango Valley up in West Middlesex in Farrell, Pennsylvania,
we didn't get no media coverage. And I had, here's the thing about it. We didn't get no media coverage, and I had sent them information well in advance because I used to work for the television station myself, right?
Right.
They didn't cover us here in Morgantown. And
don't feel rained on at all. That came from the top, Black man. That came from the top.
Well, I sent you a link where Sister Kim Lampkins, she went on ahead on and put a story together and told me that if she had known in advance, she would have been here in Morgantown and covered it. So the black media, she works for American Urban Radio Network. Okay,
yeah,
so we talking about black radio.
Called this morning, yeah.
That's what's up. I appreciate it when the black professionals stand up and don't allow themselves to be stooges, whether they be journalists, whether they be police officers, you know what I mean? Don't say yourself out and work for your oppressor, you know what I mean? I mean,
exactly.
Not for you. And she showed the kind of strength that's what's up. So I'm
exactly.
hitting statewide media, some of the people that I came in contact with on the Megan Williams case, I'm hitting them in the head with this, right, because of the fact that just because you work for the white corporation don't mean you sell your soul. This that was a legitimate story. All they want to do is cover us whenever we commit, if we commit a crime and can be charged
exactly.
with a crime. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So when we do, check it out, Doc, when we do something good, we want to be able to have the same type of zealous coverage. Huh?
Exactly. That's right. We deserve that. We deserve that because we get the negative overplayed and overhyped way more than our positive. And it's way more positive, to be honest, that happens than our negative, but it's not displayed.
That's right. You know, so listen, bro, I was just thinking, right, I need to come sit at your feet and get them skills, right, so we can bring that Blog Talk radio show to the state of West Virginia. Because we can build a strong coalition, a seven-state coalition from within the state and states connected to West Virginia, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the grassroots people here in this area, they're the ones that participated on Fire a Little Something, right? And we consider them to be the leaders that we have been waiting on or looking for. You know what I mean? So we got to be them leaders.
Well, you ain't said nothing but a word. As I always say, you got my number, so you got to make it work.
Yes, sir. I know it's been a long day for probably a long month for you, right?
No. A long 2.5 months.
Long 2.5. You've been rocking it,
two and a half, but we still rolling. We still rolling, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I want to, man. My sister, my god sister is LaWanna Logan. She said she got a friend, you know, where you want to add or where you can add her on, you know what I'm saying, as a friend. Make sure you add that sister because that sister, she got down. I said the sisters is representing. I got to go out here and work hard to get some brothers because the sisters, they're going to overshadow us here in West Virginia, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not that it's competition, right? Because I like to be able to see any other stand up and be committed and get it done. But I like to be able to see the brothers. I like to be able to see the brothers come out and represent. You know what I mean?
Just,
so they can be there to protect the sisters.
That's just a brotherhood, manhood thing. We want to see the black man stand up at all times. So I'm not even mad at you for that, brother. But listen, I gotta get this last caller because we are really officially off of the air. So I just want to get you on the record and get the people to hear what happened in Morgantown. And so tell the people one last time how they can get in touch with you, and then we're going to move to the next call and wrap this thing up.
Okay. I'm here in Morgantown. You can get in touch with me on my Facebook page, John Kenneth Shabazz. And I just got to say it one more time. We rocked it here in Morgantown. When I say we rocked it, I was looking for Pittsburgh. You see, West Virginia is supposed to be a little backward and so forth, but we can't be too backward, right? And my message is to Pittsburgh. We want to know what's going on there in Pittsburgh. That's the city. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Brother, listen, man, I want to say again, and I'm telling you this, and I'm saying it just for it's an eternal record on the air. We are so, so thankful for all of the work that you put in, you and the staff there, and all that you all went through and faced, the way you maneuvered through the rain and the obstacles. We're thankful, brother, and we're going to keep continuing. Let me just let it be known that this April 23rd, what sparked on April 23rd is a lasting movement. We built some lasting friendships, camaraderieships, brotherhoods, and sisterhoods. And so we love you for life, Black man.
No doubt. I feel the same way about you and everybody that's in the Black Power movement throughout the country, throughout the world. So I won't say anything more except to say thank you once again. Thank you to Dr. Malik Zul Shabazz and his good work and New Black Panthers and all the various coalitions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother John. And we appreciate it. Shouts out to everybody there in Morgantown, West Virginia, and every city that's there that participated. We appreciate you in Virginia. Shouts out to the Virginia chapter of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, or the chapters, and in particular Norfolk, and all of you all. Shouts out to you all. You're laboring hard, and it's paying off. This stuff is paying off. You're reaping some benefit. Reaping the benefit. So eat up on the harvest. Last call tonight, 615-478. You're on the air. We're talking about rain, police, and hell. The will of the people prevail. Black power.
Black power, brother. This is Brother Minister Maurice Muhammad, Minister of Information and Black Unity down here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, Minister Maurice, man, what's going on? Talk to us about Nashville and what happened April the 23rd. How was your 23rd?
Yes, sir, brother. We had three beautiful events, and we held our own because they had Easter egg hunts all over the city, but every event that we had was packed and beautiful and strong. And you know, I normally like to get on here and say what I got to say, but I'm going to pass the mic over to our youth representative who spoke on that day, and, brother, she carried the day. She handled it. So I'm going to pass it over to little Devonna Hill. Here she go, Black Power.
Black Power, Devonna Hill, welcome.
Thank you. Well, I was on here to speak about how I feel about black and white. Well, like, they treat us way differently because of the simple fact white people do the same stuff that we do. They kill people, they shoot people, they fight people, but we get different treatment. We used to get hung for that. Shouldn't they get the same treatment as we did?
Mm.
And, like, I just don't understand it because us black people, we get less of things than white people do. Like, white people, they get more than we do, and we should get the same equal amount of the same things because we do the same things that they do. They know the same things as we do. Even though we might have not went to the same school, they teach the same stuff. But I just don't understand how white people can walk around here like they're high and mighty and they're way stronger than us black folks. We're way stronger than them. They have beaten us, treating us like nothing, like we're dogs and everything. And we deserve better than that because we done did everything for them. Back in slavery, we cotton fields, we went out there and did that. We got wool for them and everything, and they act like they can't just, like, they can't just appreciate what we have done for them back in those days when slavery was here. And now, the future, like the present, they do it differently now. Like, if a white man does something, they get pulled off for speeding. They get nothing but a ticket in a good day. Black people, we get pulled over. They want us to get out of our car. They want to check us down. They want to do us all differently and don't want to treat us the same way as they treat them because they're white, because they do. They might have fancier jobs than us. Yeah, some of us drop out. Yeah, because some people down us and make us to the point where we want to drop out and we don't want to be in school. Well, we think that we're nothing. We're stupid, retarded, dumb, everything. And that make us just feel like, dang, well, what's the whole point of going to school? Like 95 of us black females get pregnant because somebody tells us we're nothing and we want to go live with somebody who tells us that we are something. And then they wind up leaving us telling us that we're nothing.
That's right. That's right.
Because for the simple fact of we are something. We are powerful, and we don't use it to our most ability because we let other people down us when we shouldn't do that. We should use that as power and let that uplift us because it's jealousy. That's all it is, hatred against us because we know more than them and we can do more than them. We just choose to let this bring us down, and we shouldn't do that. We should use that to our advantage in everything, but we just choose not to. Like, if a lot of people out here that done dropped out, started doing drugs, started hustling, they don't have to do that. They can get a good education just like white people can. It's a lot of white people out here that have law enforcement education, like surgical education, doctors, everything. Us black people don't have that kind of stuff. We have kids at young ages and then have to drop out. And then we have to do other stuff with our life that we can't do. Like, we probably might want to go to college, but we can't go because we don't have a diploma because we dropped out. And then we have to work at a food job that ain't paying us right enough. They not paying us enough money that we need to get where we need to be. Gas prices are getting high. We need more money. We need to feed. If we have any children at a young age, we need to feed our children. And we just not getting what we deserve as white people is. They getting a lot of money and getting what they deserve, but we're not getting anything out of it.
Right. So what do you think that we should do? What do you think that the next step should be now? Now that we've addressed the issue, what should our people do?
I think that we should stand up for ourselves and speak for ourselves because letting them down us, we shouldn't do that. We should just brush it off our shoulders and call it a day. And just use that to our advantage and don't let it get to us. Because when we let it get to us, it starts to affect us in our lives. And then we start to drop out or we start to listen to what other people say. And we go lay up with people that we know that will tell us we're something. And then later on in life, they'll tell us that we're nothing. We should just stand up for ourselves and don't listen to what the white people tell us. Because we should know that it's not true. Because when slavery was in, we had did a lot for them. And now, in these days, they should pay us back for what we did for them.
That's right. I'm right along there with you. How was your April the 23rd? What did you think about April 23rd?
Well, April 23rd, I had shot a video, and I had told what I thought about black unity and what I felt was right and what was wrong. And I feel good about it because what is white is what's white. And when it's wrong, it's wrong. You're just going to have to take it or leave it because I'm going to speak my opinion and everyone has an opinion to say. So if you don't like it, then you should just don't want to even bother to hear it.
Mm.
And people are just so hatred that they will say stuff like, don't blame it on the white male. Why shouldn't we? They beat us like we were nothing. They killed us. They separated us from our family. When we needed, back in slavery days, all we had was our family. And they made us call them master. You're not our master. We are free. We are human beings just like you are. What if we did that to them? How would the community feel? How would everyone feel?
Exactly.
They wouldn't feel right because when they did it to us, it was okay. But when we do it to them, it's a different story. That's not how we should be treated. We should treated equally just because of our color of our skin. Puerto Rican, Mexicans, they don't do that to us black folks. They don't do that because they probably might see that we needed to get treated equally as they should. We should have the same rights as everyone else in this world should, and we don't because they think that we're bad people. It's not that we're bad people. It's just that we stand up for our ground, and we know when to push back, and we know when to say something. And we're not just going to shut down because of what people say to us.
On top of that, we've been put in this condition. On top of that, black people, like you said, have been put in place in this condition. We didn't put ourselves in this, so we're responding to that, which was heaped on us, right?
Yes, that's right. And, like, they used to make us call them father or mother. You're not my father or my mother. I came from a black woman, a black womb. That is not how you should treat me. And if you're going to treat me like that, you deserve the same thing that you're treating me like. Like, you need to, like they say, if you're going to do that to somebody, one day somebody's going to give you a dose of your own medicine. And one day it's going to come right back to them, because that's not right how they do us. Like,
true.
We should get the treatment, and
that's
not
true.
Right. We should be equally, like, we're just different colors, black and white. They used to say we're color folks. We can't sit by white folks. That's not right, because we can all be friends and call it a day.
They can't call us color because they turn more colors than we do.
You're right about that.
So,
they do, but
you know what I'm saying.
But
go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
And that's not what they should call us, because we are black. We don't change colors. We stay the same. It's them that really change colors: red, purple, green, everything in the book. And it's just like that. They should treat us like they want to be treated. If you want to be treated good, you got to treat us the way that you want to be treated. So
that's
don't
what's
treat
up.
Like you want to be treated.
That's what's up. So how can the people get in touch with you and help the movement there in Nashville, Tennessee?
They can reach me at 615-474-9556.
All right. State your name one more time for the radio audience.
Davonna Hill.
Davonna Hill. Davonna Hill, let me say this to you on behalf of our national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Hushabaz, the entire New Black Panther Party, and everybody that organized for the National International Day of Action. We appreciate you for standing up, being strong in the spirit of all of our sister warriors and all of those that came before us and showed us what true womanhood is about. We appreciate you in this day and this hour, and we look forward to working with you much longer and stronger in the future.
Thank you very much. Black power.
Black power, black power. My dear family, that's Davonna Hill and Minister Maurice Muhammad bringing it in Nashville. Nashville is black on the map. We'll take this last call, 240-464. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Rain, sleet, or snow, talk to us.
Right, assalamu alaikum to you and to your
alaikum
audience.
Salam.
We're thankful. We're here at the airport. Tonight we're still celebrating the great victory over the opposition in bringing our National Day of Action to fruition, and we're just happy to be associated with this network. We're happy to see all of the brothers and sisters joining and embracing, and we're watching the Facebook numbers tick off as they look in on what is a real action day supposed to look like, what is real black unity, how is that supposed to be demonstrated, how we are supposed to deal with the opposition. But we're happy to see the legacy and the completion of the vision, the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we have embraced strongly the leadership of our chairman and doctor, the attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And he's done work all over the world now, and we'll continue to grow. We're just a blossoming flower that's beginning to blossom. And we're just seeing so many people wanting to join and happy to see us challenging the opposition. In Washington, D.C., the Homeland Security wants to take up all of the land and property in view, including the place from which we demonstrated the Briar Farm, we call the projects, going on down past the Big Chair. They want to take over a place called Malcolm and Martin, the avenues of where the two streets would intersect in Washington, D.C. They want to hold all the lands and properties for the U.S. government, and particularly for white folks. We need to rise up in Washington like we've never risen before. We should be rising up all over these United Snakes of America and all over the Caribbean, all over Africa, to bring black, take back and buy black our freedom, justice, and equality.
I saw you all in D.C. You all sent a pretty, pretty strong message. What was the spirit like?
Oh, the spirit was strong, and we were supported. Even it got so strong that the police that came to shake us at the end of the day wanted to embrace us, wanted to support us and see how could they help us. And It was just a day of overflowing energy and spirit in Washington as we have never seen it before. So we're just happy to be in this association and watch it grow and to help. We're going to nurture this particular network and continue the growth, and the proper sunlight and water and the proper cultivation will cause it to be a beautiful flower in the garden.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Imam Akbar, listen, we are officially off the air, so I don't want to belabor it, but just for those who are in Washington, D.C., tell them how they can contact you and support the movement and keep this thing going.
Well, you can contact me at telephone number 240-464-1520. They can contact the Facebook of Imam, I-M-A-M, Akbar, A-K-B-A-R. They can contact the email of Imam Akbar at Cruiser, C-R-U-I-Z-E-R, 7777 at AOL.com. We thank you so much for your time and attention, Brother Sean, Sister Mira, all of those who have labored, Brother Hannibal in New York, Brother King Samir in Philadelphia, Brother Drew in Dallas, Brother Mikhail out in Jacksonville, along with Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz, and all of those laborers in Norfolk, Brother Mike, Brother Jelani, and the whole Norfolk crew, the Louisville crew there with Brother Sean. And give the other one.
Yes, sir. Myself, Brother Hakeem.
And Brother Hakeem in Louisville. We love Brother Hakeem. We see him so frequently throughout the nation. He's a nation man. You can't hold him down. He moves around, sticking and moving. Brother Hakeem in Louisville, we salute you, brother, as well as our brother Huey Rose in London, and our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe, and those that have struggled in Gambia and Africa. We are all supportive of this network of leadership call to the International and National Day of Action and Unity in the Black Community, and the leadership of the Honorable Chairman and our doctor and attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. We thank you all for participating. Continue support, calling for the day, June 25th. Be live, be it there way before 5, but keep it moving and keep it grooving. We're going to keep this Black Action Day alive, and we're going to move against the opposition, owning some businesses and property. Much will come out of this effort. The man, Brother Rashid, I met with him Sunday, wants to sign on to agriculture to us as well. He was the ex-agriculture man of the Nation of Islam, will be signing on with and for the Day of Action and the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense to give an agricultural a branch to our network, which is continuing to grow. We thank you. We give you greetings, assalamu alaikum, and black power.
Wa alaikum salam, and black power. Back to you. It's Imam Akbar, National Minister of Justice. So there you have it, brothers and sisters. That is, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the tip of the iceberg. This is just show number one, and you see how much is coming out. And so we ask you, dear family, to stay tuned. Stay tuned as we increase these shows and begin to develop other people that's going to come on and talk to you and bear witness to you and give, you know, praise to the black God and everything that we do in terms of Black Power Radio to raise up a black nation. And we just got to advance this thing. And as our brother John Kimmel Shabazz said, we want to spread this Black Power Radio all over the country and the globe. Huh? We want to spread it all over the country and the globe. So get with us. National Day of Action at Yahoo.com. Hit us up for that Panther Party. If you're ready for that Panther action and you ain't scared to be the vanguard, the revolutionary vanguard of the people, you can go to NewBlackPanther.com or NBPPHU at Yahoo.com and stand up in the spirit of Minister Huey P. Newton and Comrade Bobby Seale in his best days and all of those that labored to raise us up to where we are today, and in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we got to, like Imam Akbar said, keep this thing alive. Don't keep hope alive. Keep the Black Power Movement and the National and International Day of Action alive. We love you, family, and so we leave you as we came always with peace and prosperity, and we got to say to you that the call is freedom or death and black power for black people.